Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time. That's clear. It's not LeBron James, but that's not the topic of today's show. What's the softest interview I've ever seen? I think I saw it this morning. Soft schedules, week one of the college football season. What are we doing? And this stuff either works or it doesn't. He's Zach. I'm Brad. Welcome to a brand new Village Vice. I don't think there's a lot of middle ground for Alex Golish and the future of Auburn football. I think this either works and works to a really fun degree, or it doesn't. I don't think there's a lot of middle in room, Zach. And before I give you some numbers, give me your initial thoughts on that.
I've said similar, Brad. Like the whole, I don't know how likely 7-5 actually is. I think 7-5 is a safe prediction. And I think you're talking more macro, but you know, even to this specific season, I think it's either more likely like Byram's great or he's not. Like, is Byram just being okay a likely thing? I think of those three things, like him just being okay is probably the third most likely.
Yeah, I agree. And I put that so far below the first two possibilities. Either this scheme and this offense and this talent work to the degree that Auburn is the surprise team in the SEC, or it doesn't, and you're looking at not making a bowl game. And I really don't think that's likely. Like, I think we've seen Byron Brown for 3 years against different levels of competition, not just against one level.
Sure.
And he's been an excellent quarterback. He's been an outstanding, not an okay, not a good quarterback. He's been an outstanding quarterback. Why won't that work this year at Auburn? We've seen this offense succeed with multiple quarterbacks at Tennessee, South Florida. Why wouldn't it work at Auburn, where there's a history of, I was talking more macro initially, but even if you break it down to just 1 year, Gus Malzahn came in 2013, took a team that went, it was below 500 the year before, is one of the worst teams Auburn has had. By the way, the last five Auburn teams would beat the 2012 team. And the very next year, they won the SEC championship. Why? Because they got a quarterback and an offense that worked.
Well, and I want to be clear, though. You're making that point because of the impact of a quarterback, not because of the first year at Auburn, correct?
Correct. The point was a coach.
One of my least favorite things is like so and so did this first year, so and so did this first year. And that's irrelevant. That's irrelevant.
What's relevant is he got an offense tailored to the strengths of a quarterback and the quarterback showed out.
Yes. Right. That's important. Not just
that's the comparison is, man, if this fit really is what we think it could be, there's no reason to shy away from like thinking it's possible. Again, no, not predicting it. We're not saying that it's happening. We're not saying Auburn wins the SEC championship. But we're also not saying they don't. We're also not saying that
I'm
it's...
I'm saying that.
You're saying that it's impossible.
I'm saying that they will not win the SEC championship this
you're
year.
You're saying it's I'll not say possible?
Is it not possible?
Because nobody going into 13 would have said it was possible.
Yeah, I mean, it technically is possible, yes.
Okay. I mean, if Byron Brown is, and this offense is...
I don't even think that's the discussion, though, Brad. I think the discussion, like, is can Auburn make the college football playoff?
Sure. Okay.
And it's like, I think it's more likely that they go 10-2 and make the CFP than, like, you know, win the SEC. Like, that's the... to your point, like, that's the discussion that matters, right?
All right. Is that, by the way, and I really do want to know this from the fan base, is that the new discussion? Is it winning the championship? Because if you win the SEC, if you're playing in the SEC championship game, you're in the playoff.
Sure.
So is it playoff first? Is it SEC championship first and then fall into the playoff? I would be curious to know that. I think some of that is semantics for this discussion, though. Is Auburn an elite level team? Do they have a chance to be an elite level team? Alex Golish's first.
Sorry, like the reason, the reason, like I don't think it's semantics is I think to get to the college football playoff, you probably got to, or to get to the SEC championship. Hey, that's a nice cup you got there.
Thanks.
The you probably got to go 11-1. I think like this to get you to Atlanta. I don't know.
Okay.
Sure. Because Georgia schedules cake, and then, you know, does Texas get there?
Yeah.
Like, possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. I mean,
with the 9-game schedule. So remember, last year you had Georgia, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and Alabama, all 7-1. So do you have to be 8-1 to make the SEC championship game?
I think for the top, like the top schools in the conference, adding another mid-level conference opponent, I don't think changes that. So like, I still think if you're 10-2 and your two losses are in conference, if you're Auburn, I don't think you go to Atlanta.
That's fair. Because
I think one of those losses would be Georgia, and I think that would be a tiebreaker situation. Okay. But I do think you've got to, like, you're in the playoff if you do that.
This is interesting. Last year, 7 teams finished above 500, 6-2 or better. Texas, Oklahoma, Vandy were 6-2. Everybody else was 500 or below.
Yeah, I mean, it was a top-heavy league last year. I think it'll probably be a top-heavy league this year, which is an issue for Auburn.
Now, that's a good point, which means if 5 of those 7 teams just get an extra win and 2 of the 7 get an extra loss of the top 7-8 in the league, if it is top heavy, and then you probably are looking at needing 8-1. That's a good point. All right, that's fair. So we'll turn it to a playoff discussion.
We got there in real time. That was fun.
Yeah. See, we're capable of critical thinking. It happens.
Yeah.
It happens. So, all right, but I want to look back at Josh Heupel's first year at Tennessee.
Okay.
Okay.
Who was his offensive coordinator, Brad?
Alex Golish.
Got it. How was their offense that year?
Well, we'll get to the offensive stats. They put up big numbers. Actually, stats don't matter. The points matter. They went 7-5 in the regular season. They were 4-4 in conference play in year one. 4-4. They lost to a Pittsburgh team that won the ACC. We don't remember that because the ACC champion now just revolves year after year, and it's teams that aren't typically in the hunt.
That was a Kenny Pickett team, right?
Yes. Yeah,
and then Addison, I think, won the Biletnikoff that year.
Their other losses came to ranked teams, and let's see. So they were to 11th-ranked Florida. They were to 13th-ranked Ole Miss, 4th-ranked Alabama, number 1 Georgia. They beat a ranked Kentucky team.
11th-ranked Florida?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Who was their quarterback that year?
In 21, would it have been Richardson?
Were they that good with him?
I don't remember that. Didn't they play for the conference championship? Was that still Dan Mullen? I know Mullen was there when we went there in 19. Was he still there in 21?
He may have been.
That's how irrelevant Florida's been for a while. Hi, Gator fans. That we don't remember who their quarterback was 5 years ago. Some of you Florida lurkers, let us know who your quarterback was 5 years ago when you beat Tennessee.
Florida folks, for Florida fans to not care about Auburn, they sure are talking about it.
A whole bunch, by the way. So in conference games, that offense year one, conference games, and they only scored 14 in their first conference game at Florida. After that, put up 62 on Missouri. Conference game number two, 62 points. Put up 45 on South Carolina. 26 in a loss to Ole Miss, 24 in a loss to Alabama. In a win over Kentucky, put up 45. 17 to Georgia, and then 45 against Vanderbilt in a rivalry game. That's year one. I don't think it's wild to predict an offense that'll score 30 points a game in conference play.
Who was Tennessee's quarterback that year?
Wasn't it Hooker in 21?
It may have been.
Yeah. I think it was Hendon Hooker. I'll look that up and make sure. But, yeah, I mean, I think they came out of the gates.
Yeah.
Scoring high 20s to weight, like averaging in the 30s
right.
in conference play. And I think that's doable for this Auburn team.
Yeah, it was Hooker in 21.
Okay. Same in 22. Now, 22, the very next year. And I do like making this comparison more than the South Florida comparisons for the people who go, but that's a different level of competition. Great. Let's look at the offense then against SEC competition.
Sure.
They went 11-2. And I had this earlier on another screen, so just forgive me. I'm pulling it back up.
It's fine.
All right. So they go 6-2.
I love that you can look up stuff on your phone now and not like totally derail the broadcast. We've come so far.
Did not lose at home in year two. Okay. Some of the numbers they put up. By the way, they beat that Pittsburgh team the next year on the road.
Don't you think an important aspect of that, though, is like they brought so much back and we're not going to do that
in year two?
Yeah.
Yes, I think that's a sidebar and an important one to talk
Unless you're making the case that this isn't year one because of the quarterback situation, fine with. I just want to kind of lay that out there.
I kind of am. It's also not this group's first foray into the SEC.
Right. And I like most of the defensive players are coming back.
Yeah.
The offense knows the system. So I think you can make that case.
38 points in a win over number 20 Florida, 40 points in a win over number 25 LSU, 52 points in a win over number 3 Alabama, 44 points in a win over number 19 Kentucky, only scored 13 in a loss to Georgia, 66 points against Missouri, surprisingly got absolutely blown out by South Carolina, but still scored 38.
Well, Hendon got hurt, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. And then they put up 56 against Vanderbilt. This offense either works or it doesn't.
Yeah.
And so far, there's nothing that you would look at and go, I don't think that offense is going to work. Tell me reasonably. I know reason sometimes is in short supply in these types of conversations. Tell me reasonably why it shouldn't work. I don't have it.
Yeah, and it's worked at other places. You know, Golish has been asked about, you know, the defense prepping for the offense in different ways. But as far as like what they do offensively, he's made the comment like, we're going to play 5 or 6 teams that run this.
Yeah.
And you look at what the Tennessee offense has been under Heupel, either with Golish or without. I mean, we talked about how bad their quarterback play was last year. The dude threw for like 3,500 yards. It's like, gosh, that'd be like one of the best quarterback seasons in Auburn history.
Ever. Yeah.
If that were to happen. Yeah. So, you know, that's part of it. Then you look at, all right, I'm assuming he's talking about Bama and LSU and that as well. It's not the same. Like they do it differently, but I do think some of that is similar. And like nobody's looking at those offenses thinking like, oh yeah, we'll see if it works or not. So
with new quarterbacks. Yeah.
True. True. So I'm with you. The offense either works or it doesn't.
Yeah. And especially the closer we get to the start of the season, I'm firmly in the camp of it's going to work. Because I've not seen anything that would lead me to believe it's not going to work.
Yeah, there's some. I mean, I've got some questions on the O-line.
And
some
I think we're
pretty glaring ones.
Yeah. But. And I think we want to get into. So go ahead and tease the post show today. It's a red flag post show.
Right.
Red flag.
I forgot we were doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to talk about that on the post show, kind of get into what are the legit reasons to be like, why wouldn't it work this year? The team concept. Why wouldn't it work? Before we get there, let's talk about sponsors of today's show, AUShirts.com. All of the stuff you hear us talking about, the Boog hats and his name is Fred Gaskin shirts.
Yes.
All the coffee mugs and everything else that you need to start the season. How great would it be to see a ton of AUShirts.com gear at Jordan Hare this fall? We'd love it.
Would be awesome.
Love to see you in it. Yeah. Go to AUShirts.com and check that out.
We've got the Mantis shirt, which. Yeah. I think some people were a little hesitant on that because, like, is he going to play? We're good. He's eligible.
Good.
So, we got all sorts of, you know, just modern, like, fan culture over at AUShirts.com. And, look, we got to talk to you about active wealth management.
Of course. While you talk about Ford Stokes and yourself, I'm going to take a sip of my cool, refreshing beverage from my active wealth management cup.
Yes. Yes, the seminar that Ford and I are putting on on August 6th and August 13th. They're almost full. That we were at 30 seats each, then we had to change them both to 50. They're both almost full. So we're going to reach out and see if we can add an extra day. Had multiple folks reach out yesterday when we talked about it here on Village Vice. You can email me directly, Zach@activewealth.com. You can also go directly to Ford at Ford@activewealth.com, or here's how to sign up for a meeting with them, Calendly.com/Ford Stokes. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different things that we have the ability to offer. We've got things that only 1% of agents can offer when you talk about guaranteeing retirement income. And that's obviously a big deal. And there's also just, you know, something that nobody really talks about until it's time to do it. And so we want to help make sure you are equipped and ready to do that. So check us out at Active Wealth. If you've got any questions, email me directly, Zach@activewealth.com.
Before we get into the next thing, you people who sleep all the way till 8 o'clock, or not eight, 6 o'clock, people who sleep all the way to 6 o'clock in the morning, how do you do it? How do you do that? I don't know how. It's like half the morning is gone by 6 o'clock. How do you do that? It's a genuine question. I don't know. I'd love to get feedback on how people sleep all the way to 6 o'clock. I can't swing it.
What time do you go to bed?
Generally, you know, 10 to 11 ish.
Okay.
Yeah. Not four, not that early. I'm not going to bed when it's still daylight outside, when there's enough reading light out there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, sidebar. What happened to week one marquee games? They're gone. The SEC went to a 9-game schedule and everybody said, let's lay up. Week one, Auburn, Ole Miss, and LSU are the only teams playing power conference opponents in week one. That's soft to me. Can I read you some of the other games? Can I read you some of the other opponents in week one?
Sure.
All right. Arkansas, Pine Bluff, UTEP, East Carolina, Kent State, Youngstown State, Tennessee State, Furman, Texas State, North Alabama, Austin Peay, UL Monroe, Missouri State, Florida Atlantic. Those are week three games before conference play starts in week four. Those aren't week one games. What are we doing, rest of the league? Why are we not opening up with better games, rest of the league?
This is I personally can't imagine not opening up against a P4 opponent.
Yeah. And I know I can hear it now. What about week two? What about week two? Sure, there are some better games in week two. But there's still some pretty rough games week two. Western Kentucky, Delaware, Campbell, Towson, Charlotte.
Southern Miss.
All appear in week two. Southern Miss is in week two, yeah. That's Auburn's game.
Right.
Southern Miss is, yeah, not what they were a couple of years ago. So, but still, week one is, we wait all year for week one.
Right.
There should be better opponents than that. It's a very, again, I think we adopted the Big Ten, we'll play 9 conference games model. And it seems like we've adopted the first week opponent model for the Big Ten as well. I don't really have much on this. It was just something I noticed when I looked at the schedule and thought I'd point it out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Finally today.
Yes.
For our we've called out our Florida lurkers, for our Alabama friends. I watched the softest interview I've ever seen in my life this morning. I'm not going to name the outlet, but I bet you can guess what city they're in.
Birmingham.
Yeah, exactly. Did a 6-minute video interview with the Alabama football coach. Honest to goodness, Zach, the first 3 questions of this interview. By the way, this is an Alabama coach that comes off of a not so stellar Media Days performance. Questions about who's going to be the quarterback, questions about the running game and the identity and closing the season. How about opening and closing the season the way that they did? First question. hey, you lost weight. You're looking good. What you been doing? Second question. For those of us who've never experienced this before, what's it like to be a coach at Media Days behind the podium? Third question. Did you and your wife and kids, and I'm going to call them by name so that you know I know their names, get a chance to go on vacation all this summer? Those are the first three questions in a 6-minute video interview. It's the softest interview I've ever seen. Now, toward the second half of it, they gave him a chance to clarify the comment that got all the Alabama fans like up in arms at Media Days about how he's not focused on a national championship. They kind of lobbed that up to him, a chance to clarify. He didn't. And that's the way the interview ended.
What did he say that made Alabama fans upset? I missed this.
He was asked if, I don't remember the exact wording of the question, but it was essentially, do you think you'll be judged by whether or not you win a national championship? To which everybody knows the answer is yes.
What did he say?
He said, you know, that's, I'm not really focused on that. I'm just focused on trying to get a little better every day. And you know, we're not looking at those end goals. That didn't go over well.
Got it.
And they gave him the easiest chance to clarify that. And there's a way to clarify it intelligently. But he didn't take it. Yeah.
Say, obviously the goal is to win a national championship anywhere, right, especially here at Alabama. That's all, yeah, you got to say.
Let me be very clear. First goal all the time is national championship. And if you don't win it, in some regard, the season is a disappointment. Just say that. And then say something like, now, to get there, we understand that it's about the daily process. It's about doing the little things every day. It's about being physical and violent and paying attention to detail. That sounds familiar. Wait, I've heard that before.
Somebody's preaching that now in the state. Who is that?
That's a good point. Physical, violent, attention to detail.
Yeah, accountability, doing the little things right.
Yeah.
Winning.
Process-oriented.
Saying that. The corner you brought with you from South Florida is an NFL corner. Somebody's saying that. Who said that?
Quarterback is already an elite quarterback, is one of the best in the country. As opposed to, we don't know who our starter is going to be.
Elite is the standard.
Yeah. Standard.
Somebody says that.
We don't set goals. We set a standard. Who's? I don't know. Maybe you can let us know in the comments who said it. I don't.
His name is Fred Gaskin.
All right. Anyway, I'm sure it'll jog my memory when I see the Auburn coach interviewed by the same neutral outlet. Can't wait for that. Bated breath. I shouldn't care so much. Doggone it. So
I'm glad you do, because I wouldn't know that stuff unless you told me. So thank you.
Yeah, sure. It's what I'm here for. Informing the masses. Okay. You got anything else on your mind today? You really got called out over the LeBron is the GOAT take yesterday. You said it just in passing.
Yeah. People are really passionate about that argument. And I just.
Sure. Well, it's Michael's the greatest of all time. It's not really a discussion. There is no other in GOAT territory. He's got his own tier. Now, if you want to talk about the tier under Michael Jordan, well, sure, we can have that discussion. There's a lot of guys in that group.
I'll concede MJ's the GOAT.
Uh-huh.
If we can call LeBron the boat, the best of all time. Because I do think there's a difference. I think there's a difference between the greatest and best of anything. Uh-huh. I think greatest transcends culture. I think greatest has almost like a legacy to it. And I think best, like you look at production. Mm-hmm. And I think you look at if it's one-on-one, like who wins. And like, I think LeBron does win that. But if you want to say Michael's greater because of championships and because of the legacy that he's had and You know, I do think LeBron will benefit like Jordan did the farther he gets away from playing. I do think LeBron will get a bump.
Kobe got a bump. Yeah, Kobe got a bump for sure, too.
Kobe's already getting a bump, 100%. Yeah. 100%. So, I mean, well, yeah, we'll see.
All right. We'll see. Good, good deal. Thanks, everybody. Do you have anything else for today, or is that it for today's show?
No, I'm nervous about the post show.
Really?
A little bit, yeah.
Why? Just we don't typically pull the veil back that negative.
Yeah,
I got you. Yeah. Okay. All right. Very good. Become a member so you can get that post show and tons of other content.
Chris and I also reviewed this morning for members only.
By the way, if you're not a member and you still want to hear Coffee and Cornbread that Christian puts together every day, that's available on the audio side. So if you listen by audio and you're subscribed to the channel, you're going to get Coffee and Cornbread every day. It's outstanding. I love Coffee and Cornbread every day.
He does a good job.
He does a good job with that. Okay, that's it. Join us on the post show. Does it for today's program. Thanks for being a part of it. Remember, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.
Program?